former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe here, rolling alongside Mike Pritchard in for Michael Lombardi. Pritch, it's been a while
since we've
done a show. We're kicking it old school, all the way back to the Point Spread Sunday days, buddy. How we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm eager to work with you again. This is late compared to what we were doing back then. But no, it's great to be back with you here on Lombardi Line.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show over these next 2 hours. Make sure to tweet at the show. At VSiN Live is where you can find us on Twitter. At M.I. Pritchard is where you can find Pritch. At Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. Coming up on the program, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the host of the College Basketball Betting Podcast, joins us in 30 minutes. We'll talk all things college hoops as it's the penultimate day of the regular season, including a play in the big Kansas and Texas game later on this afternoon. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata in Atlantic City, will check in at 8:30 Pacific time. What does TG like in college basketball? We'll have that information for you in about 90 minutes. Plus, what's the handle like for the UFC 285 card later on this evening here in Las Vegas? Another installment of the Pros Perspective in 60 minutes as we get Pritch's take on how bettors should handle information coming out of the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis at 8:15. The markets are up, so we got to talk about it. Way too early division odds in the AFC. We're going to discuss it because the NFL is the globe that keeps on spinning. But first, let's start with what's going on in Indianapolis today here, Pritch. The NFL scouting combine, day three of the workouts. This is the day that everybody's been waiting for. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, and the top quarterback, Alabama's Bryce Young. We finally got his official measurements, 5'10 and 1/8. 204 pounds. Your initial reaction?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think he put on about 10 pounds since the season ended for Alabama. And, you know, he's not going to get any taller. He's a grown man now. So can he get wider? Can he get stronger? Can he fill out? You remember when, way back when, they clowned Tom Brady with the underwear and stuff, and they look at your body, they examine it. And you and Michael Lombardi has talked about this on the GM Shuffle in terms of the body frame, the body type, what can they endure? I mean, this game is 100% injury business. Bryce Young will get hurt, but what can he endure? What can he handle? You know, at 5'10", what was it? 5'10 and a quarter?
5'10 and 1/8.
1/8, not even a 1/8, barely 5'10".
Just over 5'10".
Yes, and then he put on 10 pounds because he was about 194 in college. Mm. I mean, how much more weight can he put on? You know, how much stronger can he get? How much more of a base can he build for himself in the National Football League? And I would have a lot of questions if I'm sitting in a GM room with the staff, and if I'm talking to people about considering selecting Bryce Young at this point.
I would have a lot of questions as well. The media earlier this week had a lot of questions for Bryce Young. Here's what he had to say at the podium when asked about his size.
Again, I've been this size, you know, respectfully my whole life. You know, I know who I am. I know what I can do. And, you know, for me, you know, I think it's fair. You know, everyone can speculate and ask whatever questions are necessary. But, you know, I'm going to continue to control what I can control. Keep working my hardest to put myself in a good position. And I'm confident in myself. I know what I can do. And, you know, I'm just excited to get to that next level.
Obviously, Bryce Young saying all the right things.
Right.
He's gone to the school of Saban. Those
right.
Alabama guys, they know how to handle all these questions and all the scrutiny. The number being 204, because I think a lot of people thought 200 was about where he would weigh in. Is it a big deal that he eclipsed that 200 number, or do you still think that the frame ends up being the bigger deal going forward, which we're not going to really be able to answer those questions until he actually starts playing on an NFL field?
Yeah, you know, Femi, it's a great question because I think it's how is he putting the weight on? Is he equally distributing the weight around his body, or is his legs getting thicker? For me, and Bryce Young, it's about protecting his ligaments, which is his knee, thigh muscles, you know, your hamstrings and your glutes and all that. And then what can you do with your lower body, like your calves? I mean, I don't want to get graphic here. I'm not going to get graphic, but, you know, when you watch...
Hold on, Prince. It's early in the morning, buddy.
It is early. Maybe that was too strong. But when Aaron Rodgers, you watch him play golf, right? This is Aaron Rodgers. Like, one of the first things, it's like Phil Mickelson. You talk about... Everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers and his calf muscles. That's Aaron Rodgers, right? And And it's like, okay, is this guy going to fill out like that? Is he going to be able, like Brett Favre, you know, Warren Moon, and people I played with, John Elway, they had those thicker lower bodies and they could protect their ligaments. They could protect their legs. You know, Patrick Mahomes, even though he had the high ankle sprain, he's a big guy. He's 6'4", about 230-ish, right? And so those kind of things comes into questions for me. It's not anything about Bryce Young and his ability. He's got the ability to be a franchise quarterback. We know that. But can he be a franchise quarterback for 10 years or 12 years even with the fact that he's going to get hurt at some point throughout his career here?
Yeah, availability is the chief concern, I think, right, for a lot of NFL teams here. Because like you said, I don't think anybody's questioning his talent. I mean, we have the graphic up right now for our viewing audience. His resume is just wildly impressive. Mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winner a couple years ago. He won all the quarterback awards, consensus All-American, led his team to a national title game, won a national title his freshman year when he was on the bench and wasn't playing when he was behind Mac Jones. So everybody believes that this guy can play.
Right.
It's just, how long can he play? Can he hold up through the rigors of a 17-game season plus the playoffs, because you'd hope to get there if you're drafting a guy high in the draft here? And that's where I have my concerns as mm-hmm. well, because I've never seen a quarterback with this kind of a frame have a long career in the NFL. Like, maybe Bryce Young is the outlier, but I look at his odds right now. He's minus 190 to be the first overall pick.
Right.
Do you pay a minus 190 price on somebody who is an outlier at the most important position?
Well, I mean, that gets difficult for me. But let's circle back to the betting perspective on this, because you got to consider the players involved. Like, if you are, for instance, Houston, you know, they need a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Is Bryce Young going to be the guy that can run what Bobby Slowick wants to run? Bobby Slowick's the new offensive coordinator out there, along with D'Amico Ryans, the head coach. And that's a San Francisco connection, right?
Yep.
Can Bryce Young operate what they want to do or how they want to operate? They want to run a football and they want to go off play action. I mean, Bryce Young can do that, you know, and can Slowick, as an offense coordinator, can he foresee that? And then certainly you look at the brass in the front office there in Houston, they need a name. They need somebody to sell tickets too on top of that. So, I mean, that's your headliner, right? If you're Houston. Now, you got teams like the Colts who could trade in front of Houston. I think the Colts are the key to the draft, to be honest with you, when the running and quarterback start. You know, will they be aggressive and trade up, try to get in front of Houston? Because you got Steichen out there who just coached Jalen Hurts, right?
Yep.
And Jalen Hurts, you know, when you think about air raid, when you think about his ability and you think about his growth, maybe you can see that with Bryce Young. But Jalen Hurts got hurt this year, though, remember?
He did.
And that was his shoulder. And Bryce Young has a throwing shoulder history, too. That's where it gets tricky for me when you're looking at betting a player like this. But the wild card to me is how these other quarterbacks perform now in a combine and certainly throughout pro day, because you can see a bigger body quarterback in some team falling in love with that guy, mm-hmm. Whether it's CJ Stroud or Levis, and they're trying to get in front of all those guys.
Yeah, Bryce Young, he checked off the weight box
right
today, but unfortunately he's not going to be throwing today. He's going to wait to throw at his mm-hmm. Alabama combine. We will have three other quarterbacks that throw in this core four of the QB prospects. You mentioned CJ Stroud,
yeah.
Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. But Will Levis is an interesting one out of Kentucky, because he's drawn comparisons to, some people say that, hey, at his ceiling, he could be a Josh Allen.
Okay.
At his floor, maybe he's Carson Wentz, and has some coaches wondering what happened to their jobs based on his poor play here. His senior year at Kentucky was a little bit checkered, battled through injuries,
right.
Wasn't very good. The team didn't have success. They didn't kind of live up to the hype that people thought that they would be out there in the SEC East. But Levis is going to decide to throw today, and he was asked why earlier this week. He wanted to throw here at the combine in front of all the scouts, front office executives, and the media.
Yeah, I think physically, I just say my arm talent. I think I got one of the stronger arms that's come out of any draft class in recent memory. And then just who I am as a person, kind of my morals, what I stand for, my values. And I think that's been the most kind of beneficial thing for me to be able to share with these coaches throughout these formal and informal interviews, to just get them to know me as a person, get them to kind of understand how seriously I take every aspect of my life, and just letting them know how much I love ball and how I'm able to use those values and those morals to make me the best person in the locker room and on the field as possible.
Not everybody goes through the throwing portion of the combine. Why do you feel the way you decide?
Because I got a cannon. I'm going to show it off.
I've got a cannon. I'm going to show it off,
right?
Rich.
Hollister, cannon. What else you got? I mean, rifle? I mean, we're past rifles now.
Rocket launcher, maybe.
Exactly.
Confident young man.
Sure, sure. You know, you got to love it, but he's been coached. He's been coached. When you hear the phrase, I love ball, somebody has been coaching him because that's what coaches want to hear.
It's a dead giveaway.
It's a dead giveaway. It's a dead giveaway, Femi. Talk to an offensive coordinator. Talk to a head coach. Talk to a GM. They want a player that loves football, loves ball. Mm. And so if you're getting ready for an interview, which all these guys are getting ready for an interview, and you're going to get coached up, you have to include I love ball within any question or any answer that you're going to give, right? So he's been coached up. I mean, I love the candidness. I love his confidence, too. And certainly when you're considering a franchise quarterback, you have to have that. I mean, you cannot waver at all. And you have to communicate with the owner. And I thought Levis did a great job of communicating with the owner, who's going to fall in love with some of those sound bites and fall in love with that confidence as well.
If I was a front office executive or a head coach interviewing Will Levis at the combine, I would probably ask him and say, all right, well, if you love ball, why didn't you play at the Senior Bowl?
Oh, see, like, I like that. I like
if
that.
If you love ball.
I know.
He had a chance. He had the invite to the Senior Bowl.
Right.
He could have gone down to the Mobile and met with those coaches for an entire week. Now, in fairness to Levis, he was battling injuries throughout the regular season. I'm not sure what his rehab process was like. Maybe he wanted to make sure he was 100% at the combine in Indianapolis. But I'm like, hey, if you tell me you love ball, actions speak louder than words.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that question either. There is nothing wrong with that question you just asked either. So now he's got to prove it. But which we'll see, though. We'll see that today. I mean, he wants to compete today, and hopefully he's going to give us a great show.
Yeah, Levis is confident. Another quarterback in this class is very confident. C.J. Stroud of the Ohio State Buckeyes will play that clip and also talk first overall when we come back here. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. So check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here, breaking down all things NFL Combine. We'll discuss some college hoops coming up in the next segment in about 15 minutes. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also host of the College Basketball Betting Podcast, will join us to break down today's college basketball card. He's got to play on Kansas, Texas. You'll want to stick around for that. But let's get back to the scouting combine over in Indianapolis, Pritch. Because talked about on the other side that quarterbacks, they've been confident, which I liked. I like these new dudes. They have no shame. They say, hey, I'm the best guy, or I've got a cannon arm. And Ohio State C.J. Stroud was of the same ilk of what Will Levis was talking about. He said that, hey, I am confident to be here, and I want to show off my abilities to these NFL scouts, to these front office executives. Here's what Stroud had to say when he was asked about his ability compared to the other guys in the class.
Everybody kind of highlights that game, but for me, I think you can put on my film. I think I've been the best player in college football 2 years in a row, and I think I've consistently done that. And I think that honestly, I think I haven't even touched my potential yet. I think that I have a lot more to get better at, but I have a lot more to not only prove, not only to y'all, but to myself. And that's something that I plan to do, because I honestly don't think that I even got close to anything in college yet. So I'm excited to see what I do in the NFL.
I love it. I love it from Stroud. Yeah. It almost feels like Stroud is the forgotten guy, because everyone's talking about Bryce Young. Anthony Richardson starting to get some buzz. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Will Levis even had the buzzworthy comment. But Stroud's kind of seen as the quiet guy from Ohio State. Had a productive season and had a really good game in the conference, or in the college football playoff semifinal. But I like that he's put his neck out there and said, hey, I'm the best guy of these quarterbacks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like the players around him have gotten more shine than the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Smith and Jigba, and you got Garrett Wilson and Olave from the year prior. So, now it's time for C.J. Stroud. You know, this is a young player, though. And I love the confidence. You know, quick story. In the face of adversity, you have to remain confident, right? You can't waver on that. You can't let that slide at all. And a great example of that is Brett Favre. You know, he was third string. He wasn't even suiting up in Atlanta. But he would tell everybody who would listen to him that he's going to be the best quarterback to ever play this game. Wow. And I'm like, wait a minute. Dude, you're 260 right now, Brett. You can't even get on the field right now. Glanville hates you. What do you mean you're going to be the best quarterback ever? You watch, but it paid off because the guy was stubborn. The guy was headstrong. The guy was so confident that once he got his opportunity, he didn't let it go. You know, he stayed on the field through injury and everything. So, you know, that's love and ball. You know, that's wrapped up in one package right there that turns into a Hall of Fame career. So, you would love to see that from a guy like C.J. Stroud, who's got all the potential in the world, like you mentioned, who hasn't scratched the surface of his potential at all. And you love the fact that maybe he's willing to work to obtain that. And so I love that interview right there, that little soundbite that we had. But you got to prove yourself on the field, and we'll be able to see that as well.
Yeah, it starts today when those guys throw. Once again, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis will all throw and do the workouts at the combine. Bryce Young going to wait till his pro day, the presumptive number one overall pick, at least as we sit right now here on March 4th. And let's get into that top overall pick market here over at BetMGM. Bryce Young, he's now minus 190, I'm seeing, at least on the BetMGM Arizona website here, minus 190. CJ Stroud is down to 4-1. Anthony Richardson is 5-1. Will Levis is at plus 900. I think it's going to be a quarterback. Okay. I get that Chicago holds the number one pick right now.
Right.
But I think that we can assume that they're going to try to trade that pick to a team that wants one of these quarterbacks. So let's just have the quarterback discussion. If you had to make a bet right now today, who would you bet on to be the number one overall pick?
I mean, if Houston stays at number two and nobody gets in front of him, I could see C.J. Stroud or Will Levis being that guy. I mean, Bryce Young, again, we just saw Brock Purdy get hurt with the elbow, and that was unfortunate. At San Francisco, for that matter. Garoppolo, Trey Lance, who's a bigger body guy.
It's a dangerous job than
I know, QB, right? Man. But that offense, I mean, you know, they want to run the football, you know, and it's a West Coast scheme, but they really want to run the football. They got Pierce down there. You know, I think the quicker way to success for Houston is to run the football. You can't expect your quarterback to come in there and light up the league. It doesn't matter who this is, but from a profile and straight betting standpoint, if Houston stays at two and nobody gets in front of them, then I could see them selecting one of those bigger guys. Mm. But now if Indy gets in front of Houston and if he has a better, you can anticipate that or get some information in that regard, then I can see Steichen and I can see the Colts going after a Bryce Young type of player.
It really is interesting because we see the odds-on favorite, Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
And like we mentioned in the first segment, yes, he weighed in at 204, 5'10", and 1'8". But still, he is an outlier. From a physical profile standpoint, he's an outlier at the position compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, Kyler Murray, they have the same numbers in terms of the height and the weight, but their body composition is a little bit different. You can tell the difference between Kyler Murray and Bryce Young. Kyler being a little bit more of a thicker body type there to kind of get into the weeds of NFL draft scouting. But at least right now, I would kind of go down the board. I would take a shot on either a Stroud or a Richardson or a Levis, just because I don't know if you can pay that kind of price on a guy that is an outlier. Like if Bryce Young was 6'3", 225 pounds or whatever, he's probably -1,000
right now.
I feel like. But the reason why he's -190 is because I think the betting market and also the teams, they're a little hesitant to make him the consensus QB1 because of that size. And if that's the uncertainty, I think you got to take a shot. Like I have a bet on Richardson from December, way back at 200-1.
Nice.
Now, I don't think he's going to go number one overall, but I just felt like, hey, we have a QB in Bryce Young who is an outlier. Let's go ahead and try to fade him. Now he's down to 5-1 or 7-1, wherever you're doing your shopping. I think that's a little short, at least as it stands right now. Maybe he lights it up later this afternoon and that price continues to shorten.
Yeah.
But I think that just because we don't know who's going to make that selection, and also we don't know how teams feel about Bryce Young, now is the time to, I think, take a chance and build a portfolio with one of these other guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% right there, Femi. I mean, you know, Bryce Young, like you said, his resume is impeccable. It really is. But like Bryce Young is realizing, you know, I've been this size my entire life. There's nothing else I can do. You're right. In high school, you were fine.
Yeah.
Being your size. In college, you were great. But the league is different. And a lot of times, players, they don't understand that. You know, you've been the best thing since sliced bread. You've been everybody's All-American. Now, all of a sudden, you're just another guy. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else out there is great, too. And so when you realize that, the quicker you realize that, the better off you'll be as a player. You cannot fight that. I mean, you got D linemen running 4.3s now. So I don't care how
insane.
Quick, yeah, I don't care how quick you think you are or how fast you think you are. It doesn't matter. You got to win this game, and you got to compete and win from the pocket. And can you survive that? I think for Indy, it gets interesting because making this bet is also predicated on the fact that they don't make a move in offseason in terms of free agency and bringing in a quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Because now, okay, if Indy brings in a quarterback, do they have to trade up to get in front of Houston, you know, and stuff like that? So that's the wild card for me in this market. The number one overall pick being a quarterback, I mean, so many things have to happen. Chicago has to trade down and then all this other stuff. So I've stayed away from that market as of this date right now until I get some more information.
Well, what do you think about this market? Because I mentioned Anthony Richardson as a guy that I bet on to be the number one overall pick at a massive price there.
Right.
There's a market open for Anthony Richardson's team, the team that will draft him.
Right.
The favorite right now is the Carolina Panthers at +350. Seahawks, Raiders, Lions are at 5-1. The Colts and the Falcons 9-1. Titans, Commanders, Bucks 12-1, Texans 15-1. Where do you think would be the best fit for an Anthony Richardson?
Oh, the best fit? I mean, you can't go wrong with Seattle and what they're doing. Even the Raiders. I think they're entertaining bringing back Josh Jacobs, and they want to run the football. They're about a 50-50 football team when it comes to play selection. And here's where this can help you as a bettor. Look at play selection. Look at teams that are trying to be more balanced. And balanced in the National Football League, 60-40. Kansas City operated at 62-38. They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? These teams that are really, really good in terms of being a dual threat and then also having backup quarterback situations, they were 50-50 type of teams. I mean, going to Seattle makes sense, too. Raiders, I don't know about the Lions. I mean, the Lions are still a young team, so maybe you could see – and entertaining that, but that's not a bad price either for any of those teams. I'd stay away from the Colts. The Falcons gets intriguing as we get deeper down the list as well.
Yeah, Falcons 9-1, I think, is really juicy there because, I mean, Arthur Smith has had success with mobile quarterbacks in the past. They had Marcus Mariota. Now, they didn't have success with Marcus Mariota, but we know that he kind of likes a type. Maybe Richardson fits that mold there for being a mobile quarterback, and the Falcons either wait for him to fall to them at their pick or maybe make a move up to number one overall. I would love that for Richardson to go number one overall. My pockets would be a little bit fatter. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tim Murray joins us on the other side to talk some college hoops.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game in every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets tools, like our exclusive betting splits, plus our big dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19. What a steal at VSiN.com/subscribe. All the tournament juices are starting to flow 8 days away from Selection Sunday. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. And to help us get ready for the penultimate regular season day here in college basketball, we bring in our guy, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime. You can catch that Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. Also the host of the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. New episode just dropped last night. Make sure you check that out in your feeds. Subscribe, rate, and review. Tim, hope all is well. Sounds like you're going on vacay. We're glad that you could take a little bit of time before you jet set off to someplace that's more tropical than Las Vegas. But let's talk some college hoops here. The big game today, Kansas and Texas in Austin. Longhorns right now, 3-point favorites, total 148.5. What do you like?
Yeah, I ended up taking the 2.5 with Texas last night. And You know, this is a popular play in this contest that we've got going on Friday nights that Matt Eumanns is running there. And a couple people on the other side, rolling with Kansas, I beg your pardon. You know, I like situational spots, I think, as you guys well know. And I think this spot for Texas is one of a lot of importance. Not to say that Kansas is going to, you know, lay down, but Kansas earlier this week clinching the Big 12 championship for the 17th time under Bill Self, which is just insane to think about. And, you know, a quick aside, Bill Self is no doubt about it, even though Shaka Smart has had the year that he's had and, you know, so many other coaches have excelled. Bill Self is the National Coach of the Year. To think that they lost two first-round picks, six of their top eight scorers, and yet here they are again, most quad one wins in history, and they are, you know, locked up for a one seed for the NCAA tournament. But I just think this is the spot to back Texas. Coming off back-to-back losses, they lose to TCU earlier this week. So I'm going to roll with the Longhorns here at home. You know, at this price, Femi, I am more of a believer in roll with the money line. Let's just use a quick example of what happened earlier this week at Texas and TCU, right? If you laid the points with TCU, it was a bad beat. But if you took the short money line price, you were in decent shape there. So I usually, when it's a 3.5 point spread, I know, you know, you got to pay a little extra juice. To me, I'll lay the -150, which is kind of readily available out there. So that's the way I would roll today, Texas and Kansas.
Tim, let's get to the Mountain West Conference because this is interesting. I mean, bracketology seemingly has about three teams going from the Mountain West right to the dance. And I'm curious about Utah State, Boise State, both of those teams included, along with SDSU. You're catching what? No, actually, you're laying 4.5 yeah. points with Utah State. I mean, is this a spot game? I mean, what do you like or what are you interested in this matchup?
Yeah, big time spot game here for me, Rich, with Utah State and Boise State. So I laid the 4.5 with Utah State. It's a lot. You know, mm-hmm. me and Matt talked about this on the VSIN College Basketball Betting Podcast, Matt Eumanns. And, you know, he and I loved the situation, didn't love the number, but I'm still going to roll with it here with the Aggies. And the reason being, Pritch, you mentioned the NCAA tournament. Boise State, really, in my opinion, and, you know, the opinions of bracketologists out there, kind of solidified themselves with that win over San Diego State earlier this week, right? They yep. they come from behind, they win that game, they go on a 14-0 run to close out the game, and then you flip it on the other side, and Utah State, who was impressive against UNLV, but that's really not going to do much for you when it comes to getting into the NCAA tournament. Depending on where you look, they're very, very much on the bubble. Some have them in, some have them out. You take care of Boise State tonight, you get a quad one victory. This is a good, good spot for Utah State. And, you know, Boise State, like I mentioned, coming off of an emotional victory against San Diego State earlier this week. And then lastly, the big R, revenge. Utah State got smoked by Boise State earlier this year. So I always kind of put a little bit of emphasis on that as well. And, you know, when you back elite shooting teams like Utah State is, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, I like to back those teams at home. Sometimes I get a little bit nervous about those teams on the road. But for a Utah State, you know the rims. You're a little more comfortable there. This is a team that enters fifth in the country in three-point shooting percentage. So it's a decent-sized number, which I do totally recognize. But I'm going to roll with the home team here in a big spot. And for them to get a little revenge, they lost by 23 against the Broncos back in early January.
We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also host of the College Basketball Betting Podcast here at VSiN. Tim, this next question is going to be twofold here, and it has to do with the Tennessee and Auburn game. One, can Tennessee turn things around even with Zakai Ziegler now out for the rest of the season, their starting point guard? And then two, is there still value left in fading them today against Auburn? Tigers now 2.5 point favorites, total 129.5.
Yeah, I'll start with the former, Femi. No, I really don't. And even with Zakai Ziegler on the floor, I just didn't believe in Tennessee. And that's not a knock to Rick Barnes' squad. I just don't really trust teams that are all defense and not much offense. Now, they don't stink offensively. And look, last weekend, I thought I was impressed actually earlier this week, I should say. It was a very popular play to take the points with Arkansas, and the Vols got it done. But I think over time, we've seen this. We've seen teams that struggle to score on a regular basis. And I'll be honest, I feel like they've been exposed a little bit here in the SEC. SEC that, you know, it's not that great this year. They've got losses to Florida, to Vanderbilt, to Missouri. They've got swept by Kentucky, who is a tournament team, but, you know, not a vintage Kentucky team by any stretch of the imagination. They do have a nice win over Alabama, which was a great situational spot at home a couple weeks back. But, I can't get behind trusting this Tennessee team to make a deep run into the NCAA tournament. As for today, yeah, we have seen a big old shift in this line, right? This game opened Auburn plus 1.5 last night, and now here we have Auburn laying 2.5. So if you're late to the party, I would probably say, you know, the same thing I mentioned earlier. Maybe take a shorter money line price to ensure it. But once again, I think situationally, this is the spot to back Auburn. Auburn is a team that is more comfortable in the bubble situation than, let's say, Utah State is. But a win over Tennessee is a big, big win. You know, everything that I said about Tennessee, me not trusting them, goes out the window when it comes to metrics. And the metrics absolutely adore this Tennessee team. This is a slam dunk quad one win. This would be really the banner win of Auburn's resume when they bring it to the table next Sunday on Selection Sunday. So this is a spot where Auburn really, really could use this victory. And you think about what we've seen the past week, right? They lose last weekend to Kentucky, really got run out of the building at Rupp against Kentucky. Then they turn it around, play their butts off, have a double-digit lead on the road against their rival Alabama, and then they blow that lead. Alabama wins in overtime. Bruce Pearl immediately goes on local radio, is blasting the officials, saying, you know, it was a football game down here. And then lastly, remember, a month ago, Tennessee and Auburn played in what was maybe the ugliest college basketball game of the year, 46-43, and they don't call a last-second foul on Auburn's shooter when he doesn't have space to land on a three-pointer. They lose by 3. So I think Bruce Pearl's going to have his squad ready to go, and I think they take care of business today against Tennessee.
Tim, we got about a minute left here. Let's get over to Notre Dame and Clemson. I know you're a big Fighting Irish guy. Sounds like you're fading them. Is it because of the no curfew earlier this week? What's behind the handicap here?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a win that a team went out and celebrated. Might not have gone any further than what Notre Dame did on Wednesday night. So I'll do it briefly here. Mike Bray's final regular season game, final home game as the head coach of Notre Dame. He's the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. He said prior to the game and then came through on it after the victory against Pittsburgh, we're going to the Linebacker, which is a local bar there in South Bend. He enjoyed himself. I imagine his team enjoyed themselves. It's been a rough, rough season for the Irish. It's a big number to lay here. Maybe you want to look first half. I put a little -5 first half too on Clemson, so that could be a route you go here. But Clemson needs this win. They can't afford a loss. That's the biggest thing. If they lose this game, it is devastating to their at-large bid for the NCAA tournament. And let's be honest, guys. You have a 12-win season, just 3 wins in conference. You beat a top 25 team. You go out and enjoy yourself. Now you got to go on to Clemson, South Carolina. I'd be very surprised if we have a big effort from the Irish today.
He is Tim Murray. Always a big effort from him.
Sure.
You can catch him out on VSiN Prime. Tim also hosts the College Basketball Betting Podcast. Tim, we appreciate the time. Have fun on vacay. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you guys.
All right. We'll be back more to talk some NFL news and notes on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM is offering college basketball fans a chance to pocket extra cash winnings all season long. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your college basketball parlay boost token. Then place a college basketball parlay with a minimum of 4 legs using the token. If the parlay hits, you'll have your winnings boosted. New to BetMGM? Download the app and sign up now to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Take your shot at making a big win even bigger. Place your 4-leg parlay today and boost the excitement of college basketball like never before with a college basketball parlay boost token. Only at BetMGM.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Ebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here, our former NFL 10-year vet. Pritch, man, that's the thing. When you talk to Pritch, folks, for those of you that have never met Pritch, he'll never let you know that he played in the league. You got to look up his stats. You got all this, because most guys that play in the NFL, they're like, oh yeah, I played in the league and this and that. That's like line one when you meet them. That's like line 47 with Pritch. But that's why we love you. You have all the insights, and you're humble, even though you have a career that many would not be humble about.
Yeah, you know what? It's a quiet humbleness for me. I mean, believe me. I'm thankful for every moment of my career. Thankful for what my career has given me and my family. Mm. But yeah, you know what? There's no reason to be flashy. You know, yeah. I had my times. I you know, winning a national championship and the days then at Colorado and seeing what Colorado is now with Coach Prime, and it's turning back the clock a little bit. But fully respect the process, and there's no need to be flashy. Everybody knows what you've done already, right, in your history, and it's about that front windshield for me. So the humbleness is quiet, but it's real, though.
Yeah, no, it definitely is real, and that's why we love having you here at VSiN, Pritch. Some guys who have their moment in the sun right now,
yeah,
as we get back to the combine and the news and notes that are coming out of Indianapolis, the running backs, a pair of running backs are expected to have the franchise tag placed on them if their teams cannot reach a long-term extension by Tuesday's deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier yesterday, we saw Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network report that the Cowboys are expected to use the franchise tag on running back Tony Pollard. And then also Tom Pelissero of NFL Network said that the Raiders plan to place the franchise tag on their star running back Josh Jacobs here. But what do you make of these two tailbacks now if their teams can't get those long-term extensions, getting the tag and preventing them from going out into the open market?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting because, I mean, I think the tag is a raise for Josh Jacobs. Like, the Raiders declined his fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to give him a raise with this tag. And it all, I guess, hinges on Josh Jacobs and how he feels about that because he's not going to be able to negotiate. Well, he's negotiating a long-term contract right now. But with the Raiders, you know, it's like they don't give you a lot of upfront money. They give you guaranteed money, but those guarantees has clauses in them too sometimes. And if you're not on a roster, then all of a sudden that guaranteed money kind of goes away.
Yep.
In other words, it's not fully guaranteed, right? And as a running back, do you really want to be on a one-year situation, kind of like what Josh Jacobs went through this entire year as he proved himself to be an all-pro runner at the running back position? So there's mixed feelings right there because you want to secure your future. You never know how long it's going to be in the league as a running back. Tony Pollard's coming off an injury. A significant injury to where the league might even change the rules about body weight, you know, or hip weight on your tackling situations right there. So I think if you're Tony Pollard, you're probably inclined to sign that franchise tag situation coming off the injury to where you can get into a better situation. Whereas Josh Jacobs, I don't foresee him holding out. He says he wants to be a Raider. In other words, okay, are you going to sign it or not sign it? It all points. I mean, the way that the Raiders do business, it all points to Josh Jacobs in that franchise tag situation.
I think Jacobs, and just to kind of paraphrase the quote that he had here, is essentially was saying that if you want to treat me like the bell cow, you got to give me bell cow money. Essentially,
right,
it's
right.
I'm not just going to sign and get used up, and then all of a sudden you're paying me pennies here. Now, obviously, pennies being relative speaking, because it's still a pretty nice contract that he could potentially get.
Well, it's a great point you bring up because it is relative, but it's also your worth. Mm-hmm. Like Josh Jacobs in his mind, I'm not worth $10 million, but that's what you're saying to me. You know, I'm worth longer than that, at least a contract, right? I'm worth more than that. And, you know, are you going to allow me, or am I going to be able to reach that potential of what I think my worth is, more so to what you want to pay me? Like, and that's why you get the rub, you get the friction. You got teams that'll pit the fans against the player in order to get their point across or to make their point or to get leverage or obtain whatever they need to. But Josh Jacobs is worth more than $10 million. He's a He's a first-team all-pro running back. And for the Raiders to suggest that, oh, he's just worth $10 million, I mean, that to me is a slap in the face.
That $10 million number is what the franchise tag is for a running back there. Right. And I'd assume that if they were to tag him, contract talks would continue after that, and that'd probably be the baseline number where they start at.
Mm-hmm.
Jacobs might counter with, hey, I want 15, and maybe they settle on 12.5. Who knows how these things might end up working out there, but that's at least going to be the base minimum of what Josh Jacobs could get on a long-term deal. It's interesting with Jacobs, though, because I think back in August, watching that Hall of Fame game against the Jacksonville mm-hmm. Jaguars, Jacobs had 8 carries in the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the sentiment was that, oh, he might be on his way out. Maybe they could cut him in training camp. And then he goes on and has an all-pro type of season. I think almost the Raiders were surprised because it was a new coaching staff with Josh McDaniels, new general manager and Dave Ziegler. They were like, oh, okay, we actually have something here. This is somebody that we want to make a part of our culture going forward. So Jacobs probably surprised him a little bit of his performance in 2022. On the Tony Pollard side,
mm-hmm.
if you were Tony Pollard's agent, would you advise him to sign that tag and play on the tag to maybe get healthy, see what happens in 2023, then potentially go and test the open market when you're not coming off of the broken fibula which he suffered in that divisional game against the Niners?
Yeah, you know, so many running backs have this injury and they come back from it. You're fine. Eric Bieniemy had this injury, in fact, in a national championship game. But, you know, you come back from that situation, he's going to be an electric player. And I don't know if he's reached his potential because of opportunity or lack thereof, where you know, you have a change in philosophy now with McCarthy, no longer Kellen Moore. So he's going to get his opportunity. It's a lot of people have been waiting to see. I would advise him to look at that franchise tag. Maybe you buy a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you don't, you know, settle on a team-friendly deal. Like, you can get into these situations where they throw a lot of money at you and you think, okay, that's the money that I'm worth, or that's the money that I'm going to get right now, and that's the only opportunity I'm going to get this money. So you kind of jump at it. Or do you play that long-term game and say, okay, let me get completely healthy, and then maybe we can start negotiating on a long-term deal that way. But no, sign a tag, go out there, get ready for the season with that money guaranteed in your pocket.
I'm curious to see what Dallas does with Ezekiel Elliott. I would imagine they want him to come back on a pay cut there because he's at a pretty hefty price.
Yeah.
I think Pollard has passed him up as RB1 in mm-hmm. Dallas, so they got to get something right with Zeke, or maybe they just move on from Ezekiel Elliott altogether.
Well, when you get to that age and lack of production, it does become a pay cut because you, as a player, you're like, okay, what about a restructure, right? You can give me a bonus. We can keep the same money, but just restructure it. Like, you know, play it out a little bit longer. But teams are like, no, we want some of that money back now. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Zeke that way.
I want to ask you about what's going on in Baltimore here, and we got about 90 seconds mm-hmm. left, but we can also carry this over to the top of the next hour. But the Ravens, their passing game has been under a lot of scrutiny over the last few seasons here. At the Combine, their general manager, Eric DaCosta, had this to say about why they can't seem to get it going offensively through the air.
It's a challenging position to evaluate in different ways. I don't have a – if I had an answer, that means I would probably have some better receivers, I guess. We keep trying. You know, I think there's a lot of things that go along with that position. Sometimes it is tied to the quarterback. And I think it's tied to things like durability. It's tied to, you know, a lot of things. We're going to keep swinging, you know. There have been some guys that, you know, have been successful players for us that were draft picks. We've never really hit on that all-pro type of guy, which is disappointing, I would say. But it's not for lack of effort.
If you're a receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, how does that, somebody who used to play the position,
yes.
how would that make you feel?
Come on, DaCosta. I mean, that was a lot of hot air right there. Seriously. You're not trying hard enough, or you guys have the wrong blueprint. I mean, there's so many wide receivers to choose from these days.
Uh-huh.
A ton. And you can't even get one right. I mean, that right there is on you, really. Don't make excuses for it. Don't try to point fingers like he did at the podium. No, it is not a development situation. A lot of times receivers are out of the box, ready to go. No assembly is necessary, right? That's the kind of players he needs to go find as opposed to what they've been looking for recently. So, yeah, we'll get more into that. But, that was full of hot air right there at the podium.
One of the receivers for the Ravens had a lot to say about this. We'll talk about that as we begin hour number two on the other side. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.